So Pope Francis, in his great document, Evangelii Gaudium, he says that the church is meant to be like a field hospital. And this image of a field hospital is obviously from war, you know, where you have these very small, mobile medical clinics that can just move. All it is really just a tent, but with highly trained doctors and nurses. So that no matter who comes, no matter what injury they face, they could be shot, they could be cut, they could be suffering from all sorts of trauma. People who are so highly trained and focused, they can take them in, identify what is the most important thing to treat. You know, they might have a cut on their finger, but they might also be shot through the chest. You're not going to try and treat the finger first. You know, to try and assess what actually is the most life-threatening thing. And there be able to meet that need and tend to it. But particularly this idea of a church that goes to those who are injured. Sometimes I look at the church and I think, yes, we are a hospital, but a little bit more something like Canberra Hospital. Very big, very solid, institutional, 14 stories high, filled with doctors and nurses and a lot of bureaucrats. Perhaps this is sometimes my more cynical moments, but I sometimes think that we're often a hospital filled with people who are great at identifying illnesses, but not particularly good at healing them. It's as though we're like a hospital where our only medical supplies are band-aids. So if you come to us with a cut on your finger, sure, we can welcome you in, we can fix you up, we can send you on your way, the beautiful band-aid. But if you've got cancer, leukemia, heart disease, needing an amputation, we can give you a band-aid. You'll feel better, I'm sure. Now, that may or may not be a fair judgment. But we're talking here about the church. Not just the clergy, not just those who are up here. But us as a church, are we able to bring healing to our world? Are we equipped to actually identify life-threatening illnesses of the soul? Do we actually have the desire and the perseverance to treat them? You know, the readings today are all about leprosy. Now, if you remember the commission of Jesus, when he commissions the Christians and the early disciples, he says, go out and cleanse the lepers. I don't know how many lepers you've cleansed. I don't know how many lepers you've met. I'm assuming none. Would that be a fair guess? Yeah? Okay, everyone's nodding. Those who are still awake are nodding. We don't see people with leprosy in this country anymore. And praise God, it's a disease which is almost being eradicated from this planet. You know, technically known as Hansen's disease. I think it was around the 1950s it was finally identified as being a bacteria. And so now a very simple antibiotic is able to cure the disease. But it's a fascinating disease because it can take up to 20 years to incubate within the human body. You can contract leprosy and you won't know you've got it until 10, 15, 20 years later. It takes a long time to develop. And this is why it was so hard to identify what it actually was. Because even now, if they try and do a test to see if you've got leprosy, it takes months before the disease actually shows itself. We are living in a country with an epidemic of spiritual leprosy. And I think this is, as a church, where we need to be waking up to the call of Pope Francis as to the fact that we are meant to be a field hospital of highly trained people who have a desire to bring healing. Because this spiritual leprosy does exactly the same thing as Hansen's disease. It numbs you. It destroys your feeling and eventually leads to your death. Now, the place where you contract this disease of spiritual leprosy is really through pain. In a sense, it's kind of the opposite to physical leprosy. Physical leprosy is a disease which means that you lose feeling and stop feeling pain. Spiritual leprosy comes from some pain which you have experienced, generally at a very young age. Some sort of trauma, some sort of hurt, some area of rejection deep in your life. And as with Hansen's disease, it takes a long time to incubate. Things that have been said to you, things that have been done to you, areas of wounding or rejection which have gradually grown deep within your heart, built into anxieties, built into insecurities, fears, areas of defensiveness where you've closed yourself off to other people simply just to survive because the threat of that pain is too much. The threat of being wounded again is too great. And so we just become numb. Now, this has the ability to afflict everybody, but I personally suspect that it afflicts men even worse. Because men, I think, particularly have a tendency to just shut off all emotion as a way of surviving. I think women are much more resilient in being able to deal with their emotion, whether even if that emotion is negative and painful. I was talking to a man recently who had experienced quite a traumatic childhood, you know, experienced quite a lot of abuse physically and emotionally from his father. And he said quite openly, he just found the off switch to his emotions. He just turned his emotions off and he's lived for the rest of his life inside his head. Everything is now rational. Everything is intellectual. He functions seemingly quite well as a human being. And yet, at the level of the heart, he's dead. There is nothing. And I think he's one of the rare men I've ever met who actually has the ability to acknowledge that and say, yes, he just does not feel. He's terrified of feeling. Because if he goes into that place of emotion, he knows what's there. All that pain and all that hurt is still there under the surface. So he's locked the door. He's never going there again. Now our world is filled with people like this. And in many respects, I believe this is why we are living in a culture where people are going to such extremes so that they can feel. I remember many years ago, I was walking late at night, as I sometimes do. And as I was walking down a road, there was a young woman sitting on the footpath outside her house. And she struck up a conversation, asked me what I was doing, because she's going out for a walk. And she was just sitting on the footpath, smoking a cigarette with a bottle of alcohol next to her. And every now and then, you could just catch this glimpse as she was inhaling from a cigarette. You could just see this light in her face, which revealed just this deadness. There was just nothing. You know, here she was talking about how desperate she was to be able to, you know, get out and go partying and just so that she could hook up with someone, just so that she could feel. You know, here she was living just in this emptiness, and it was this desperate attempt to find something, anything, just to get a bit of feeling into her life, even if she knew it would lead to more emptiness. This is the epidemic that is ravaging our country. Now, I think at this point, I think it's important to look around you at who's here in the church. I actually encourage you, look around. But particularly look at who isn't here. Have a look at the type of people who are here in this church. And I think you're going to find that there's a huge chunk of society that is not here. Particularly men. There is something here we need to be waking up to as a church. That our society has lost all sense of feeling. We've turned our hearts off, in a sense. And in that regard, the church becomes an extremely threatening place. Because if you come here, it's all about love. It's all about healing. It's all about emotion. And particularly when I talk to men, I hear this. They say, oh, the church is all just women's business. Which if you translate that into men's language, they say it's emotional. I don't want to go there. If I go into the church, I'm expected to feel. And I don't do feeling. I'm sorry. I don't do emotion. I don't do talking to people. I'd rather go to the pub and just sit around talking about things on the surface. I'd rather go and get involved in a sporting club where I can avoid the heart. I can just stay in my head. We are surrounded by spiritual lepers, and Christ has commissioned us as a church, go out and cleanse the lepers. Go out and heal those who cannot feel. As a church, do we even have the ability to begin that task? Now, as a priest, I feel personally extremely challenged by this because, you know, as this, the image I said at the beginning, for me, that's a very personal challenge because I feel like I spend my life just dispensing Band-Aids. You know, that people come to us looking seriously afflicted. And the natural reaction is to think, I can't deal with you, I'm sorry. I don't know where to begin in healing your life. I can't begin to heal your pain. So here's just a nice little pious word. Or here's just a nice little prayer you can go and say. It's the spiritual equivalent of just giving a cancer patient a Band-Aid. I think the real challenge that is being presented to us is that we would actually be able to really go on a journey of healing with people. And that begins with ourselves. That begins with the person sitting next to you. Because as a church, we're not healing each other particularly well either. You know, once again, as a church, you look around, you've got a lot of people who will focus on all sorts of stuff that's in the head. We'll get all sorts of passionate about the liturgy. We'll get passionate about social justice. We'll get passionate about things that aren't right. You know, the flowers in the church aren't correct. We'll avoid the real issue. We'll all dance around the real issue that deep down we are deeply in pain and we're trying to numb that as much as we can. And sometimes even spirituality can be a way of numbing us and not actually transforming us. How are we meant to cleanse the lepers? It really starts with love. It starts with community. I believe it starts with that commitment of really genuinely walking alongside someone so that your love will bring them back to life. Now that is so challenging. On the surface it sounds nice. It sounds like another of these nice pious statements. But this is the thing no one wants to do. You know, the very nature of leprosy, as we heard here from Leviticus, if a person is leprous, if he is unclean, they have to walk around with torn clothing and disheveled hair, shouting out, unclean, unclean. You know, we live around social lepers, and you see this. You know what I'm talking about here. People who are socially awkward, people who don't know how to actually speak correctly, people who are not proper, who are difficult to communicate with, difficult to relate with because they always talk about the same thing, or they're stuck in some fixation, or they're just not normal. And we avoid them for fear that we're going to become afflicted with their disease. You know, the whole of society does this. You know, the person who is strange, the outcast, slightly socially awkward, we run away from them as much as we would run away from a physical leper. As a church, they are the ones we're meant to be healing. Christ did not run away from the leper. He ran towards him and healed him. It's the same story with Francis of Assisi. Francis came from a noble family, wearing fine clothes, surrounded by proper people, until one day he really experienced conversion. And when he saw a leper, As much as he was horrified and almost felt sick at his presence, he ran up to him and kissed him. That's the way we are meant to respond as a church. When we see the people who we know are broken, we know are filled with pain, and everything in us just says, I don't want to go near you, because if I start asking you about your troubles, I'll never be able to walk away. You know, if I open up what's there, I know that I'm going to have to spend the next 10 years walking with you. You know, that's the fear. I don't know whether you experience this. I feel this. But there's something of like, I don't even want to go there. I'll just talk to you about football. You know, when I ask you how you are, you know that I'm not serious, because I don't really want to know how you are. We need to actually experience this true conversion that Francis of Assisi experienced, where we can actually look at someone and say, I can see you are suffering. I can see that you are numb. And I want to love you. And I want to actually speak into that and say that you have dignity, that you have worth, and that I'm with you. That is what Christian community means. That is what Christian love means. That we're actually prepared to go on that long journey of restoring someone to life. Which once again is the nature of leprosy. You know, it takes a long time to develop in a person's life. Thankfully these days all you need to do is take a tablet and the disease is killed. But because of the damage that it's done to your nerves, it's going to take a long, long time before you are fully healed. And this is the case. We are surrounded by people, even in this church, who have been healed of their spiritual leprosy. They've come to know Christ. They've accepted the Spirit into their life. But there is still so much damage. There is still so much damage, not in their nerves, but in their heart, at the level of their trust, their fears. Are we as a church prepared to walk with each other into that journey of healing? To actually take the effort to get to know the person who's sitting next to you right now, rather than just slipping into church, doing your duty, slipping straight back out again. To have the courage to turn to the person beside you or behind you and say, I have no idea who you are. Do you want to come around for dinner? You might just be transforming someone's life. You know, if we could actually develop a Christian community like this, we might actually become a field hospital in the image that Francis, or Pope Francis, uses. We might actually become a church that is not afraid of sick people. We might become a church that's actually equipped because we understand the healing power of love, the simple power of community and relationship, and how that's able to transform the deepest brokenness. So I want you to feel so empowered and encouraged by what the Pope is saying. You know, it can look like this overwhelming task, and we just think, I can't do this because I'm broken. How can one leper heal another leper? You know, if I look at myself, I see my own woundedness, my own fears. How can I possibly start to reach out? And yet the reality is that that's where it begins. You know the pain that other people go through. You know your own pain. And through reaching out to other people and loving them in theirs, yours will be healed as well. You know, this becomes this reciprocal healing, this mutual benefit. All we need to do is actually start by reaching out to each other. So let's pray that we can actually become a church. Not just individuals coming to sit around and worship Christ, but that we can actually become a church, a community of healing, a field hospital, equipped and empowered to go out to the world and bring this transformation, to bring the grace that we experience here outwards to those who most need it.